Which is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, good morning, Macarius. Mac. Sorry, I know you want to be called Mac. Say, we have some donuts left over from Bible study. Would you like to have one?
No, thank you, Pastor. I think I'll pass on the donuts.
Pass on the donuts? Mac, that's not like you. You love donuts.
Well, yeah, kind of, I guess, but you see, I started a self-improvement program, and I figure I eat about $10 worth of donuts a week. Yeah, I ate a lot of donuts, and that money could probably be better served like feeding people in starving countries. So, I'm giving them donuts, and I'm going to send that money to people in starving countries.
Wow, Mac, that sounds like a noble cause. I'm curious, how's your progress?
Well, this is just the first day, but I'm sure I'll be successful because I have an iron will.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, Mac. I'll be praying for you. I hope you're successful.
Thanks, Pastor. First, I'm going to conquer the donut habit. Then, I'm going to give up gossiping completely. No more saying bad things about anybody. And then after that, I'm going to stop worrying because, you know, that anxiety is bad for my health. It causes, you know, stress on my heart. Plus, it shows lack of faith. So, I figure that if I stick to this self-improvement program in about a month or two, you know, I'll be perfect.
Okay. Well, Mac, so you think you're going to be perfect. I'm curious, what started you in this self-improvement mode?
Well, you know, I've been reading my Bible more lately, and I read this verse that said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect."
Oh, yeah, that's right after the Beatitudes.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so, that's what I want to do. I'm going to try to be perfect.
Okay, Mac, let me get this straight. You're giving up donuts, you're going to give up gossip, you're going to stop worrying, and you're going to do all this because Jesus says, be perfect. I got that right?
Right.
Well, you know, Mac, it's not a bad goal all in all. It even seems to fit in with one of Jesus' Beatitudes, you know, when Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Well, I'm glad you agree with me, Pastor.
Mac, I didn't say that I agree with you. I just said that you don't have bad goals. But here's my concern. My concern is that you're going about this improvement thing for all the wrong reasons.
What's the matter with the way I'm going about it? I mean, I already said I have tremendous willpower.
And that's why you have that donut in your mouth right now, right?
Well, I must have force of habit.
Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking.
Well, Mac, that just goes to show that you're going about this perfection thing in the completely wrong way.
Well, do you have a better idea?
Well, I don't, but the Bible does. You see, Mac, the whole Bible is just one long story of man's failed attempt to please God by himself. We just can't do it. But what we can't do, God has done for us in Christ. You see, Mac, righteousness is a gift of God, and it's received through faith.
Righteousness is a gift? Do you have any evidence to back up your statement?
Well, I was hoping you'd ask, Mac. For example, let's take the Old Testament. Abraham, in his day, Abraham was longing for children. And see, there was nothing more important than having children back then, especially sons.
Right, I remember that story. Abraham and his wife Sarah were way too old to be having children. It was just seemed impossible. But God promised them a son anyway.
That's right. Abraham was a man of great faith. And he trusted God so much that he was willing to leave his home and go to a land where he'd never been before. But Abraham still didn't have a son. It was almost as though Abraham was hungering and thirsting for righteousness in the form of a son. Now, Abraham tried everything. He adopted a son. He even tried to have a Abraham realized that he couldn't have that promised son on his own, by his own efforts. So when he believed God, faith was then credited to him as righteousness, and then God made the impossible happen.
And he had a son.
Yes, Mac. Abraham had a son, but not just any son, you remember. He had Isaac, the promised son, the one whose most famous descendant would be Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one through whom all of God's blessings come to those who believe.
Well, okay, that's one example. But are there any more examples of faith credited as righteousness?
Oh, tons. Let me take this one from the New Testament.
Okay.
For example, Mac, one story that we usually read about at Christmas is the story of Simeon. Does that ring a bell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Simeon, he was... God told him that he would... Okay, he was waiting... I'm having a hard time remembering. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, or...
That's right. Here's what would happen, Mac.
Okay.
God had promised Simeon that he wouldn't die before he saw the Savior with his own eyes. So year after year, Simeon waited. And then one day, not too long after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple. Well, Simeon, with great joy, took the baby Jesus in his arms and he blessed God. And he said, "Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation."
So Simeon was hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the same way that Abraham was.
Exactly.
And then he was filled when he held the baby Jesus in his arms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all well and good, Pastor, but, you know...
But what now?
Well, what about regular people, you know? I've never had a miracle like seeing Jesus before, and I'm not going to have a son, I don't think, in my own age. I mean, I'd be happy if my son just moved out of the house.
Yeah. Okay, Mac. So if I understand you, you're wondering what hungering and thirsting for righteousness means for you in particular, is that right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, short of a miracle, I just assumed it means I should try harder. Right? I mean, after all, Jesus did say, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And if he said it, then it must be possible, right?
Well, Mac, I don't think that's why Jesus said be perfect.
Well, then why did he say it? Just to frustrate me or what?
No, Mac. You see, he said that to make us realize that nothing short of perfection is acceptable to God.
Well, and that's just what I'm striving for, Pastor. See, you always seem to know the Greek word for everything. So this time, I beat you to the punch. Yeah, I went to the library, and I looked up the words for hunger and thirst in a Greek dictionary.
Okay, Mac, okay, now you know my secret. No more sloppy preaching for me, because you'll be checking up on me with that Greek dictionary. So I'm just curious, what did you learn from this Greek dictionary?
Well, I learned hunger means to be famished, and thirst means to long ardently. And that's me. I'm sick and tired of being a halfway Christian. I want to be righteous. I mean, really and truly perfectly righteous. I want that with all my heart, and that's why I started this self-improvement program, and I'm going to stick to it.
And I suppose that's why you got more donut in your mouth now.
Okay. I admit it, Pastor. I'm a miserable failure. But I do want the righteousness that Jesus promised and the perfection that God demands. I just don't know what to do. I mean, do you have any suggestions?
Well, you could try the Apostle Paul's approach.
Well, what approach would that be? I mean, I know, but maybe those guys don't know.
Well, actually, you know, it's really similar to what you're trying to do right now. You see, when Paul was still an unbeliever, well, he tried hard to be perfect. In fact, Paul even joined the Pharisees, which was the strictest sect in Judaism. But, you know, trying harder just didn't work for him. But guess what? even later on when Paul had become a Christian, well, even then as a Christian, he still couldn't be perfect. In fact, Paul talks about his frustration with this in Romans chapter 7.
Romans chapter 7. I remember that one.
You want me to help you out a little bit?
Okay.
Here, let me turn my Bible to Romans chapter 7. Here, let me read you this verse from Romans 7. And remember, this is Paul as a Christian now.
Okay.
Paul says, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out.
Like me and the donut thing.
There you go, Max. Listen to what else he says. He says, what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, that I do. And then he says, who will rescue me from this body of death?
Pastor, I think that's taking it a little too far. I mean, you eat a lot of donuts, but I don't think it's going to kill me.
No, probably not.
So, who rescues Paul from death?
I think you know, Mac. The answer is Jesus. Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, Jesus rescues Paul, he rescues you, he rescues me, he rescues all people from sin, and then he gives us perfection and righteousness as a gift. In fact, we receive it in baptism, and it's ours by faith.
And that's it?
And that's it.
I don't know, Pastor, I mean, it seems so simple. Actually, it seems a little too easy.
Well, it might be simple, but it's certainly not easy, Mac. You see, the hardest thing in the world for people to understand sometimes is that they can't please God on their own, and that only by faith in Christ can they be justified.
Okay, Pastor, I'm not going to lie. I don't remember what justified means.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Mac, justified, well, it translates the Greek word dikaiō. And dikaiō means to declare righteous. That's what it means, to declare righteous. Now, earlier you said you wanted to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the word justified means that God actually clothes you with Christ's perfection even when you're not living perfectly. And now that you've discovered that Greek dictionary, you can look it up for yourself. In fact, you know that Beatitude I read to you earlier? It has that word, dikaiō. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But it could also be translated like this. It could be translated, blessed are those who hunger and thirst to be justified, for they will be filled. And you see, Mac, to be justified simply means that you're forgiven. It means that God declares you righteous, perfect for Jesus' sake.
Declared righteous by faith in Christ.
Exactly, Mac. By faith in Christ. You see, the holy life of Jesus, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, all that Jesus did for us, that's what secures our righteousness and justification. And everyone who hungers and thirsts for it receives this gift of righteousness by faith.
So does that mean that I can, like, forget my self-improvement program then?
No, not really, Mac. In fact, according to the Bible, when you're justified, it's natural for you to want to try to improve yourself, but not in the way you were doing. In fact, God's improvement program is called sanctification. And sanctification is going on inside of us all the time. For example, even though there's nothing wrong with eating donuts, it might be a good thing in your case to cut them out if you think that will be helpful for you. And then your plan to take the money you save and give it to the poor, well, that's a wonderful thing. It's also a good plan to stop gossiping, because God says that's a sin. It's also very good to stop worrying, because as you said, it's not good for you, and we should trust God. And Mac, I really do hope that you are successful. But here's my point. Even if you are successful to some degree, that's not how you are righteous before God. You see, when Jesus says, be perfect, what he's trying to teach us is that you're already fully justified through faith in Jesus. And as for improving yourself, well, that simply flows out from the righteousness that God has already given us through faith in Jesus.
Pastor, thanks for clearing that up. It gives me a lot to chew on. And I'm not just talking about the donuts, you know? Well, I guess I better get going. I'll see you around, Pastor.
Okay, Mac. Hey, before you go, would you like to take those donuts with you?
Oh, no, I got more at home, you know, just in case.
Oh.
Okay.
In a moment, we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.